Unit 5. Putting the horse before the cart. Section 1. Listening comprehension. 1. Listen to the following passages and then decide whether the following statements are true or false.
1. The British government and the universities say they have no choice but to raise tuition fees in the years to come. The universities, which are receiving $14.6 billion this year from the government, need $14 billion more over the next 3 years to maintain standards.
2. Belfast, a city of 277,000, best known for bombings and other acts of terror in the 1970s and 80s, now has a thriving nightlife. During the day, the city resounds with work on new buildings and renovations of derelict warehouses. This activity is the result of the 1998 Good Friday Peace Agreement, which restored confidence in the future of the city.
3. The Paris Opera was confused by the complexity of the orchestration and frightened by the scale of Berlitz's music. French audiences were largely indifferent or contemptuous. He died a prophet without honor in 1869, a lonely, near-tragic figure embittered at the rejection by his countrymen.
4. Because many computer-based technologies are relatively new to classrooms, basic premises about learning with these tools need to be examined with respect to the principles of learning.
5. As the Swedish population becomes more heterogeneous, it may demand more choice within the welfare state and become more reluctant to pay exorbitant taxes.
6. Mr. Mubarak, Egypt's president, has never named a vice president, nor even hinted at the possible identity of one. Coyly and repeatedly, he has said that it was hard to find anyone suitable.
7. Few real estate speculators have overborrowed from local banks. The government granted most of the land free. Many firms are already cash rich. Dubai's building costs are low, thanks to those amenable Asians, and Standard Chartered thinks the Emirates' GDP will grow by 8% this year as long as oil output grows and its price stays high.
8. Localizing software is a tedious job, but some people are passionate enough about it to resort to unusual measure. The Hungarian translation of OpenOffice was going too slowly for János Knoll, founder of the Hungarian Foundation for Free Software. So he built some web-based tools to distribute the workload and threw a pizza party in the computer room at the Technical University of Budapest.
9. A useful BCI device, however, must be able to determine the subject's intention from a single brainwave reading. For real-time applications, averaging hundreds of readings simply won't work. But the problem with such single-trial readings is that they are very difficult to interpret because of the background noise produced both by the brain and by the EEG equipment.
10. Worldwide changes are transforming American agriculture into an endeavor focused not only on efficient food and fiber production, but also on delivering improved public health, social well-being, and a sound environment. Recent scientific breakthroughs will make it easier for agriculture to achieve its potential for delivering a wide array of benefits to society. 2. Choose the one answer that best fits the meaning of the statement you have heard.
1. The changes now underway in agriculture's social and scientific context require a new vision of agricultural research, one that is grounded in lessons from the past, in changing American values, in a globalizing economy, and in scientific advances that have fundamentally altered the life, environmental, and social sciences.
Two, in engineering and in technology-based industry, creativity yields technological inventions. Such inventions can result in commercially successful products, in improvements to the quality of life, and in the generation of income streams through intellectual property licensing arrangements. Thus, the social and economic benefits are often clearly identifiable and measurable.
Three, few technologies are currently as controversial as genetically modified or GM crops. Critics, particularly in Europe, object to them on many grounds. A common objection is that they are unnatural, because they often involve the transplantation of genes from entirely different species.
Four. Normally, maize, which is an important crop for livestock feed, has low levels of methionine. Farmers typically have to add chemically synthesized methionine to their animal feed in order to keep their herds healthy.
Five. Sony, the market leader, is changing the technological and business rules that have defined this cutthroat industry for two decades. By doing so, it hopes both to improve its fortunes. Earlier this year, the company admitted that its revenues and profits had unexpectedly plunged, and to fend off a challenge from Microsoft, which launched its first games console, the Xbox, in 2001.
Six. What leads surprisingly large numbers of young people to follow the desperate course set for them by fanatics? A sense of oppression, of humiliation, of marginalization can give rise to extremism. In 1962, the UN Secretary General warned that an explosion of violence felt by those living in poverty and despair in a world of plenty.
Seven. We must press governments to ensure that in attacking terror, the cure does not become worse than the disease. The worry is that in many countries, human rights have become the collateral damage of the war on terrorism. In particular, the presumption of innocence, freedom from arbitrary detention, due process.
8. In farsighted decision, Microsoft says it will combat software piracy by allowing users to decide what price to pay for its new Microsoft Office suite. A spokesman says, "We recognize that some folk in some less advantaged countries can't afford the $3 million per box price tag, so we'll let them pay what they think is right."
9. Apple released its first mobile phone in August. It's plain white, has no buttons, and looks like an egg. All units of the first batch had to be recalled due to a design flaw. The surface cracks easily, and white and yellow goo leaks out. Long-term users complained of hearing clucking noises from inside.
10. Concerned about maintaining friendly ties with future growth markets on its eastern frontier, Germany realizes that its strategic and economic interests are best served by cooperative relations with Poland and other new members, who were outraged when Chirac bluntly told them they should have kept quiet rather than voicing their support for the United States during the war. Section 2. Reading. The End of the Oil Age. Prompt. The dependence on oil has not only dramatically changed the economic and political scenes of the world, thanks to the oil embargo by the OPEC countries over the past 3 decades, but also produced devastating impact on the natural environment. The cost is huge in both aspects. With the advance of new technology today, there is hope that new sources of energy such as hydrogen fuel cells and bioethanol can offer alternative ways of energy supply. The author discusses such possibilities and their consequences. In making his argument, the author expounds on the cause and effect relations between oil embargo and the political and economic changes between the concentration of oil supply and the likelihood of its disruption, and between the use of renewable energy and the freedom from air pollution and from war over energy. The Stone Age did not end for lack of stone, and the Oil Age will end long before the world runs out of oil. This intriguing prediction is often heard in energy circles these days. If Greens were the only people to be expressing such thoughts, the notion might be dismissed as utopian. However, the quotation is from Sheikh Zaki Yamani, a Saudi Arabian who served as his country's oil minister 3 decades ago. His words are rich in irony. Sheikh Yamani first came to the world's attention during the Arab oil embargo of the United States, which began 3 decades ago and whose effects altered the course of modern economic and political history. Coming from such a source, the prediction, one assumes, can hardly be a case of wishful thinking. Yet a generation after the embargo began, the fact seems plain. The world remains addicted to Middle Eastern oil. So why is Sheikh Yamani predicting the end of the oil age? Because he believes that something fundamental has shifted since the first oil shock. And, sadly for countries like Saudi Arabia, he is quite right. Finally, advances in technology are beginning to offer a way for economies, especially those of the developed world, to diversify their supplies of energy and reduce their demand for petroleum, thus loosening the grip of oil and the countries that produce it. Hydrogen fuel cells and other ways of storing and distributing energy are no longer a distant dream, but a foreseeable reality. Switching to these new methods will not be easy or all that cheap, especially in transport. But with the right policies, it can be made both possible and economically advantageous. Unfortunately, many of the rich world's biggest oil consumers are reluctant to adopt the measures that would speed the day when the Saudis' worst fears come true. If treating the West's addiction to oil will be costly, is it worth doing? To be sure, petrol addiction imposes mighty costs of its own. First, there is the political risk of relying on the organization of petroleum countries, OPEC. Oil still has a near monopoly hold on transport. If the supply is cut off even for a few days, modern economies come to a halt, as Britain discovered when tax protesters blockaded some domestic oil depots 2 years ago. And despite what sounds like large investments in new oil fields in Russia and elsewhere, Saudi Arabia's share of the world's oil market will actually grow over the next 2 decades simply because it has such huge reserves of cheap oil. Geology has granted 2/3 of the world's proven oil reserves to Saudi Arabia and 4 of its neighbors. Because of this continuing concentration of supply, the risk of a disruption to oil flows will continue to be a threat and may even rise. That points to a second sort of cost. According to one American government estimate, OPEC has managed to transfer a staggering $7 trillion in wealth from American consumers to producers over the past 3 decades by keeping the oil price above its true market clearing level. That estimate does not include all manner of subsidies doled out to the fossil fuel industry, ranging from cheap access to oil on government land to the ongoing American military presence in the Middle East. The disguised cost of oil is the damage it does to the environment and human health. Unlike power plants, which are few in number and so easier to regulate, cars are ubiquitous and much more difficult to control. The transport sector is a principal source of global emissions of greenhouse gases. The only long-term solution to this connected set of problems is to reduce the world's reliance on oil. Achieving this once seemed pie in the sky. No longer. Hydrogen fuel cells are, at last, becoming a viable alternative. These are big batteries that run cleanly for as long as hydrogen is supplied, and which might power anything in or around your home, notably your car. Hydrogen is a fuel that, like electricity, can be made from a variety of sources. Fossil fuels such as coal and natural gas, renewables, even nuclear power. Every big car maker now has a fuel cell program, and every big oil firm is busy investigating how best to feed these new cars their hydrogen. Another alternative likely to become available in a few years is bioethanol. Many cars already run on a mixture of petrol and ethanol. The problem is cost. At the moment, the ethanol has to be heavily subsidized, but that might alter when biotechnology delivers new enzymes that can make ethanol efficiently from just about any sort of plant material. Then, the only limit will be how much plant material is available. Such changes will not occur overnight. It will take a decade or two before either fuel cells or bioethanol make a significant dent in the oil economy. Still, they represent the first serious challenges to petrol in a century. If hydrogen were made from renewable energy, then the cars and power plants of the future would release no local pollution or greenhouse gases. Because bioethanol is made from plants, it merely borrows its carbon from the atmosphere, so cannot add to global warming. What is more, because hydrogen can be made in a geographically distributed fashion by any producer anywhere, no OPEC cartel or would-be successor to it could ever manipulate the supplies or the price. There need never be another war over energy.